Some of you know that I like to watch a little football. I'm not huge, I don't sit and watch it all weekend, but I enjoy watching football. And when you look at a quarterback, when you evaluate a quarterback, there are two kinds of vision that are important for a good quarterback. The first is what is referred to as pocket awareness. Now, the pocket is for a quarterback when they back up to throw a pass, and the offensive line creates this pocket where they keep the defenders out, and the quarterback can watch and hopefully throw the ball before they get sacked. And the quarterback has to be able to be aware of what's happening with the pocket. Is the pocket collapsing? Is somebody sneaking around on my blind side? What's going on? They have to have pocket awareness. The other vision that they have is called downfield vision. They have to be able to look down the field and see where their receivers are, see where the defenders are going. They even have to be able to anticipate, okay, I know my receiver is going to run this way, and then they're going to turn that way, and the defender is probably going to go this way and come in from this side, and they have to be able to track all of that at the same time. And that's called downfield vision. So to be a good quarterback, you have to have both of those. You have to have pocket awareness, and you have to have downfield vision. Turns out the same is true in the Christian life. We need both of those kinds of vision to walk the path of our Christian lives well. We need to have that kind of vision that allows us to see the dangers and the opportunities that are right in front of our face, right here, that kind of pocket awareness of this moment in time in which God has placed us. But we also, and this is often the more challenging part, we also need to have that long-range vision. That long-term vision of knowing that this is where God is at work. This is where God is drawing us. This is what we are moving to. It doesn't do a quarterback any good to simply hang out in the pocket. He's got to be able to see where things are going, so that he can get the ball where it needs to be. And so it is in our lives that we need to keep that vision of where God is pointing us, where God is drawing us downfield, so that we know where we're trying to get the ball, so to speak, of our lives as we try to move in him. And having that vision, being able to see that, is what then defines our choices. You know, the quarterback manages the pocket based on what he sees down the field. If he knows, okay, I can throw the ball right away, he doesn't have to worry about that defensive back that's coming around the corner over here, because the ball will be gone. But if he knows he needs to a few more seconds for his receiver to get further downfield, then he's got to watch, and he might have to move, and so forth. It takes both. So how are we to manage this in our lives? How are we to keep this vision, especially the downfield vision? I dare say most of us are pretty aware of what's right in front of our faces. That's usually not where we humans struggle. What we have to work at and train ourselves for is that downfield vision. That's the one that we forget about. We get so caught up in the dangers that are right in front of us. You know the old saying, when you're up to your neck in alligators, it's difficult to remember the initial objective was to drain the swamp. Well, we're usually far too caught up in what's right around us, and we lose that vision that's down the field. In today's gospel lesson, and in fact in this whole series, we've actually skipped a big chunk. We've skipped about two-thirds of chapter 17. Now the reason we skip it here is because we get it at other times in the church year, but we lose the flow, and it might cause us to forget what Jesus is talking about when he tells this parable about the need to pray always and not to lose heart. The last two-thirds of chapter 17 is what we call apocalyptic. It's about the end times. It's about when Jesus comes again, and the kingdom will be established, and this world will be restored to what God intended it to be. And there's a couple things that we're taught about it. And I'm just going to hit these very, very briefly. The first is, when it comes, you will know. You won't have to wonder, is Jesus back now? If people are debating whether Jesus is back now, then the answer is no. Chapter 17, verse 24. For as the lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one side to the other, so will the Son of Man be in his day. So you won't have to wonder. Second thing is that it will be a surprise. It will come as a surprise. We won't know. Verse 28. Just as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But on the day that Lot left Sodom, it rained fire and sulfur from heaven and destroyed all of them. It will be like that on the day that the Son of Man is revealed. So we'll be going about our normal business, and all of a sudden, bam! It will come to an end. And we will come to that new thing. And so what we're told is, you better be ready all the time. And how are we to be ready? That's what this parable is about. Praying constantly and not losing heart. That's how we are to be prepared. And so then he goes on to tell this rather puzzling parable about this unjust judge. And it's troubling because usually the judge in these kinds of stories is God. And God is not an unjust judge. And in fact, he says, will not your Father, who loves you and cares for you, grant justice? The granting of justice is actually a common theme in the Old Testament about that end time when God will return and recreate the world, that there will be a granting of justice to God's people. And we are to prepare for that, and we are to be ready for that by praying constantly. Now, this is not a parable about how to pray for a new Mercedes. Okay? This is not a parable that's teaching us if you just keep praying, keep praying, keep praying, you'll get what you want. That's not what this parable is telling us. This parable is about our need, catch that, our need to pray constantly and not to lose heart. You see, here's the funny thing about prayer, especially as it's being taught right here. Prayer doesn't change God. God is God. Always has been, always will be. This is not teaching us that if we pray long enough and hard enough and use the right words and get enough people agreeing to pray with us, that God is suddenly going to do what he would not otherwise have done. No, the importance of prayer is that it changes us. The reason why it matters for me to pray constantly and to persevere in prayer and not lose heart is because it changes my view of the world. It changes my view of me. It changes my view of God. It changes my view of you. It changes how we look at things. And that's why it's so important. It opens us up. And then God gets to work. But the prayer begins, and particularly at this point, when Jesus is talking about the prayer for the end times. Remember, the reason that they were losing heart is because the world just seemed so unfair. There was no justice. These Romans have overtaken us, and we don't seem to be able to get rid of them. There's no justice in the world. The people who seem to be evil seem to win. That's why they were losing heart. And that's why Jesus tells them, this is what you do. This is how you respond to that. You pray constantly and you never lose heart, and God will bring his justice. God will grant justice. You see, persevering in prayer isn't because God is suddenly going to do something different than he was going to do anyway. It's because it changes us. And did you catch the last verse of it? The last verse of that passage? He said, "And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" Now that may seem an odd question at first. Will he find faith on earth? But over the last several weeks, as we've read through these several chapters in Luke, we see that faith isn't simply an intellectual assent, but faith is lived out. Faith is in action, in doing the things that God calls us to do. And so the question is, will God find people who are doing his work, who are about his business? Because you see, that's what prayer drives us to. There's a wonderful statement from Pope Francis. He said, "We see the hungry, we pray for them, and then we feed them. That is how prayer works." You see, we pray, it changes us, and then we work in concert with the Holy Spirit alive and well within us to bring about the changes that God would have. Will he find a people who is about the work of prayer and the resulting treatment and care for one another? That's the faith, quote unquote, that he will be looking for. You and me, in prayer, and then as a result of that prayer, at work, in love and service to the people that God has placed around us. And here's the thing, you see, when we keep that vision that prayer brings to us, that downfield vision of where we are trying to get to, that kingdom of God coming, when we keep that vision clear, that's back on. Where was I? That's what guides our ability to make the right decisions now. Because you see, suddenly, when we realize that the downfield vision is the kingdom of God, the downfield vision is that we become like Christ, that we become more and more Christ-like in our living, all of a sudden, that next career advancement maybe isn't quite the most important thing. Maybe that new car, or that bigger house, or that vacation, or getting rid of those muffin tops, maybe those aren't the most critical things in life. Maybe the opportunity to love and care for and serve the people whom God has put around me, maybe that becomes the driving force. Maybe that becomes the thing by which we make the decisions of our lives. You see, that prayer, that not failing in prayer, that persevering in prayer, reminds us that God and his direction and his purposes are our priorities. That's where prayer puts us. You see, Christian prayer isn't simply a matter of me looking inside me because there I'm going to find some perfect wisdom to guide my life. Christian prayer is that we recognize that I'm a mess here, but I need to look to God out there for his vision to guide my life, to guide where I am going. You see, Christian prayer submits ourselves to that which is beyond us, to the vision of God. And that's what Jesus is talking about when he says, when he tells this parable, that we are to pray always and not to lose heart. That we would keep that vision before us. And that that may be what guides us and what drives us, so that we would be known and marked and seen to be people of faith. Amen.
Amen. Amen.